Hello, everyone. This is Alejandro Escovedo from Austin, Texas, and you're listening to 90.1 FM KKFI Kansas City Community Radio.
Welcome to Isla Earth. Most of us have heard that carbon dioxide is a greenhouse gas and a major contributor to global warming. We all know we should ditch the incandescent light bulbs, buy a hybrid, and saddle up our bikes more often. This would help. But is there a way to capture the carbon before it's released into the atmosphere? Scientists are working to find out. Capturing the carbon dioxide is one challenge. What to do with it is another. And here's a solution straight from science fiction. Researchers from Harvard and MIT believe we may be able to inject it into the ocean floor. Carbon dioxide becomes a stable liquid at depths of 10,000 feet, making it easier to store. And in that low-temperature, high-pressure environment, CO2 becomes denser than the water above it. Once injected into ocean sediments, the liquid carbon dioxide forms solid crystal hydrates, creating a structure that's stable enough to withstand severe earthquakes. Scientists are also working on technologies to trap and compress carbon dioxide gas and transport it to the ocean floor. If this can be achieved at a reasonable cost and environmental impact, we could deep-sink thousands of years' worth of CO2 emissions. Learn more about the science behind today's story at islaearth.org. Isla Earth is produced by the Catalina Island Conservancy with support from its Fund for a Sustainable Planet, because Earth is an island.
Jaws of Justice Radio is now broadcasting from 9 to 10 a.m. every Monday, and Counterspin has moved to 6:30 p.m. on Tuesdays. Coming up this Monday, Doug Bonney of the Western Missouri and Kansas ACLU is in to talk to us about mail and county jails in Missouri and Kansas. That's Jaws of Justice Radio, Monday at 9 a.m.
The confusing debate over Syria and on-again, off-again U.S. military strikes leaves out a lot, like the work of nonviolent activists inside the country. Journalist Rania Kalik joins Counterspin to talk about that and some of what they have to say about the debate over U.S. bombing. Now on Tuesdays at 6:30 p.m., right after Mic Check.
Yo, Rockin', what's up? Yo, I'm doing the knowledge, E-Man. I'm trying to get paid in full.
Well, check this out. Since Norby Walters is our agency, right?
True.
Kara Lewis is our agent.
Word up.
Zakiya and Forth and Broadway is our record company.
Indeed.
Okay, so who we rolling with then?
We rolling with Rush.
Rush Town Management. So check this out. Since we talking over this deaf beat right here that I put together, I want to hear some of them deaf rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And together, we can get paid and paid
full,
and paid.
Full,
and paid
full,
and paid.
Full. Thinking of a master plan, cause ain't nothing but sweat inside my hands. So I dig into my pocket, all my money spent. So I dig deeper, but still coming up with lint. So I start my mission, leave my residence, thinking how could I get some dead presidents. I need money. I used to be a stick-up kid, so I think of all the devious things I did. I used to roll up, this is a hole up, ain't nothing funny. Stop smiling, we still don't nothing move but the money. But now I learn to earn, cause I'm righteous. I feel great, so maybe I might just search for a 9-to-5. If I strive, then maybe I'll stay alive. So I walk up the street, whistling this, feeling out of place, cause man, do I miss a pen and a paper, a stereo, a taper. Me and Eric being a nice big plate of fish, which is my favorite dish, but without no money, it's still a wish. Cause I don't like to dream about getting paid, so I dig into the books of the rhymes that I made. So now it's a test to see if I got pulled. Hit the studio, cause I'm paid in full.
Akim, check this out. Yo, you go to your girl's house and I go to mine, cause my girl is definitely mad cause it took us too long to do this album.
Yo, I hear what you're saying, so let's just pump the music up and count our money.
Yo, but check this out. Yo, Eli, turn the bass down and just let the beat keep on rocking.
And we outta here.
Yo, what happened to Peace?
Peace.
Let's go. can't happen here. It can't happen here. I'm telling you, my dear, that it can't happen here. Because I've been checking it out, baby. I checked it out a couple of times. And I'm telling you, it can't happen here. Oh, darling, it's important that you believe me, bop, 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 that it can't happen here. Who could imagine that they would freak out somewhere in Kansas?
Kansas.
Who could imagine that they would freak out in Minnesota? Could imagine. They would freak out in Washington, D.C. Everybody's safe and it can't happen here. No freaks for us. It can't happen here. Everybody's clean and it can't happen here. No, no, it won't happen here. I'm telling you kids, it won't happen here. Plastic folks, you know it won't happen here. You're safe, Mama. You're safe, baby. You just go to the TV dinner and you make it. Get a TV dinner and cook it up, cook it up. Oh, and it won't happen here.
No, man, you guys.
But they would freak out in the suburbs. I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. I remember Tutu, I remember Tutu, they had a swimming pool. And they thought it couldn't happen here. They knew it couldn't happen here. They were so sure it couldn't happen here, but Susie.
Yes, yes. Yes, I've always loved her. Yes, I agree, man. It really makes it. Yeah, it's a real.
Susie, you just got to town, and we've been very interested in your development.
Forget it!
It can't happen here.
Brothers and sisters, you can still
Just be thankful for what you got. Though you may not drive a great big Cadillac, diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangster lean, gangster white walls, TV antennas in the back. You may not have a car at all, but remember, brothers and sisters, you can still stand tall. Just be thankful for what. Sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangster lean. Diamond in the back, sunroof top, digging the scene with a gangster lean.
could literally let that tune play out for the next 4 hours, really. I think I think we could do that, couldn't we?
What's up?
Yeah, what's up? Yo, you know. All right, so 24 minutes after the hour of midnight. I'm Benjamin. That was William Devon. All right, be thankful for what you got. William Devon had one song, and I believe he was thankful for what he got out of that song. Diamond in the back, sun rooftop, digging the scene with the gangsta lean. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's right. That is right. All right, 24 minutes after, 25 almost, up to the minute, right here on the Paragon Radio program. Up to the minute. Traffic and weather on the 25s. It's raining outside, and it's Kansas City, and it's 12:30 in the morning just about. There's no traffic to speak of whatsoever. God bless that, right? And all those songs that I played before now, you better have been listening to your radio, Brian, because you were whining about the songs that I normally play, and I played some different songs, even though this is not a song show. It's a talk show. Yeah, it's not a show for songs. It's a show for talking. And offering directions to knuckleheads. Go right down Choteau Traffic Way or Front Street. Take a right and or a left and you're there. It's in what's called the East Bottoms. Near local pigs and stationary food trucks. Kansas City's very own version of Detroit. The East Bottoms. Soon to be like the West Bottoms. Overrun with dirty gutter punk anarchist artsy types looking to reclaim something for irony. Yes, saving the ghetto one ironic building at a time. Thank you, dirty gutter punk anarchist types. God bless you. I mean, the difference between me and the gutter punk anarchist is I clean my clothes and shower on a daily basis. On a daily, that was fundamentally the difference. Because deep down inside, yours truly, the host of the Wham Bam, Thank You Ma'am, It's the Program, is an anarchist. I believe in anarchism. I truly do. What does anarchism mean? Does it mean chaos in the streets? No, it doesn't mean chaos in the streets. Does it mean that anyone gets to do whatever they want? I mean, we're getting closer, but that's not really it either. Anarchism means that people are not socially engineered by governments. They do it themselves. They're responsible for themselves. You know, there's a psychology in the good old US of A that we've learned over time. Now, I was never around for the so-called good old days, folks. And neither were you. And I don't want to go too far back into the psychoses or the psychologies of the United States Republic, but there used to be a time, especially where we are right now in Missouri, straddling the Kansas border, looking out towards the Great Plains, the Great American Desert, onto the Rocky Mountains and the Great American West. Really what the Great Plains are. The Great Plains are the Great American Desert. It's like the Gobi Desert. It's not a hot desert, except for when it really is hot. And the Great American Plains, the Great American Desert, will return soon. And the grasslands that give way to the badlands will return soon, because if you go out into western Kansas, you will find yourself in irrigated farmland. It's the Ogallala Aquifer that has made those lands suitable for growing high fructose corn syrup and partially hydrogenated soybean oils. Not to mention, what else? What else they grow out there? I think that's mostly it. Maybe a little alfalfa and some good old-fashioned rapeseed for the family. I don't know. I don't think they actually grow rapeseed, otherwise known as canola oil. I mean, rapeseed is what creates, that's the seed. That's the seed stock for canola oil. I don't know that they actually grow that in Kansas. It's just fun to say. Rapeseed. I don't know if it's called rapeseed because it rapes your cells of nutrition and vitality. I don't know if that's why it's called rapeseed or it just worked out like that. That's what canola oil comes from. I think most rapeseed actually comes from Canada, because everyone knows that up in Canada, there are a bunch of rapeseeds or hayseeds. Hayseeds in Kansas, rapeseeds up in Canada. It's a different thing. With the Ogallala Aquifer severely being depleted, I mean, they're having all kinds of projections as to what the state of affairs for the Ogallala Aquifer will be in just a generation, saying that it'll be tapped out. Of course, the lower you push the aquifer's reserves, and the more that takes place in regards to drilling, fracking, and of course, the good old-fashioned just God knows what's down there, you get to a point where you might create just a horrible situation. So you look at the Great American Desert, where you have these circles of irrigated agriculture full of high fructose corn syrup and partially hydrogenated soybean oils, and in my mind only, circular fields of rapeseeds, which doesn't actually exist, but in my mind it does, and that's, I'm fine with that, and you should be as well. Yes, looking out, straddling Kansas, us here, and some people are not straddling Kansas, some people are Kansas, and that's okay too, nobody's perfect. Now, this part of the country at one point was free because you had no other choice. At one point, this part of the country was anarchistic because you had no other choice. It was just the way it was because there was no government. Now, of course, government is ubiquitous. Corporations are ubiquitous. Social engineering from the two via either social policy or just straight up commercialism. Forced down your throat, into your nose, and through your brain, like a flesh-eating amoeba, which is very popular these days, is just everywhere, and everyone is forced into a mentality, a way of thinking, a thought processes, and then you still have your current, your modern-day anarchists. They're out there. They exist. People who honestly believe that they should be in charge of their affairs. If you have time to. And that's really the problem. So much of us have very little time for anything. Our lives being what they are, being put into little boxes, little cubicles to go off and do our little monkey work so we can have our other boxes, our little condos, our apartments, our homes, or whatever they are, all being forced, essentially volunteer slavery into a situation that begets insanity. Well, hey, let's start this Monday off on the right foot, huh? Should we? Let's start it off positively. I'm trying. I'm really trying. I'm really giving it a shot here. Giving it a shot. People say, hey, you like all the government does for you? They build roads. They pay for schools. Well, hey, buddy. That argument doesn't work in Kansas City. Have you driven down our roads? Have you seen our schools? That argument does not work in this town, folks. It doesn't. The scary thought is that they're going to put another sales tax increase on the ballot for Jackson County residents to pay for medical research. Why? Why is Jackson County getting involved in medical research? I don't understand that at all, not even a little bit. And the Hall family would like to put forth a bunch of money, too, only if Jackson County, I mean, does anyone realize that if we continue to raise the sales tax in Jackson County, that it's going to be one of the higher sales tax? I mean, it's already, if you are in the special tourist tax zones of Kansas City, if you are going to restaurants in those areas, the sales tax rate is over 10%. Over 10%. Now, these tourist zones, like the Plaza, the Power to Be White District, and essentially Westport, etc., you know, even if you are a resident of this town and not a tourist of this town, you still have to pay for these taxes. You still pay these same tax rates to go to the local establishments, the local restaurants, or whatever it is. You, as a local going to a local, are still paying these tourist taxes. And then we're going to heap more taxes on top and just keep taxing the hell out of everything. I mean, why not, right? That's the really, that's fundamentally the problem, right, with government in America, is that it is underfunded, you know? I mean, a $4 trillion budget, half of that being deficit spending, that's not nearly enough. Huh. Why do I call it a budget? A $4 trillion expenditure for the federal government, that's not enough. We haven't even gotten to state, local, or county governments yet. You can't call it a budget, though. You really can't. That's disingenuous to call it a budget. Because a budget would imply that you did some sort of, you got out one of those green accounting hats and one of those accounting calculators, you know, that have the buttons in a funny spot, and then you have the little lever you pull down every time you make a calculation. And you actually balanced a book. You said, we have X amount of dollars coming in. We will have Y amount of dollars coming out. We will put Z amount of dollars towards something in the future, or whatever. It's not the way budgets work on the national level. State and local levels, they're forced to work that way until they put off the liabilities that local governments and state governments have. So they put those off onto the future to a point where you just have a capsized financial ship or something. But hey, on the bright side, Larry Summers has decided to withdraw his name from the Federal Reserve Bank chairmanship because Ben Bernanke, Helicopter Ben, is leaving to do God knows what. Maybe he's going to go take over the World Bank or something like that. The IMF fund. Maybe he's going to go run that. Maybe he's just going to retire to Jekyll Island and be on the steering committee for the costume parties they love to throw there. You know, Eyes Wide Shut or something like that. I'm assuming. I don't know. I've never been invited to one of those costume parties, but I would assume they exist. That makes a lot of sense to me in my mind. Just like circular irrigated fields of rape seeds all over the Sunflower State. Even though that probably doesn't exist either. Nevertheless, Larry Summers, he decided to withdraw his name. So then we get a nice little lady nominee, and we'll see how Miss Yellen. I mean, we all know what this is going to mean. I mean, it's a 100-year anniversary of the Fed this year. You know, the Federal Reserve brought in to stabilize the monetary supply. Done a great job. To end the business cycle, for sure. There's been no crashes. There's been no recessions. There's been no depressions. There's been no bubbles since the advent of the central bank in America, the Federal Reserve System. And to essentially be the rudder for the economy of the United States of America, kudos to the Federal Reserve. They've done a great job. Couldn't have done it without you. Couldn't have done it without you, Federal Reserve, as they're coming up on their 100-year anniversary of making our notes. For all debts, public and private. It's great. I mean, I know that most people out there are proud of everything that everyone has done in regards to the monetary supply of this country. I mean, you look at it, you just think, without the Federal Reserve, America would not have a military empire. Without the Federal Reserve, I don't think we would be the 16 point something trillion dollars into debt that we are. We couldn't have done any of this without the Fed. And let's not even fail to mention, please, let's not. Quantitative easing 1, 2, 3 to infinity. I mean, the Great Manic Depression of 2008 until question marks, they tell you that the recession, it ended sometime in 2009. That may be true. It began in sometime in 2007, ended sometime in 2009. That may be true. But the Great Manic Depression, that continues on. That has not ended. They say the inequality between the top 1% and the rest of us has only increased. since the 5-year anniversary of the collapse of Lemming Brothers. Because all those little rodents were running off the side of the mountain. Has only increased. That now the wealth inequalities of the United States of America are greater than they were on the eve of the Great Depression. Not the Great Manic Depression, which we're in right now, but the actual Great Depression of the late 20s and the entire decade of the 30s. Wow. Right? Wow. I mean, let that one sink in for a moment. The inequalities of wealth are only getting greater. And this is under, of course, a Democratic administration who in the first, you know, few years of his presidency had full control of the entire government. And they set out to reform the good old U.S. of A. for the little guy. To make sure that the banking, I mean, the banks that were too big to fail are now bigger. You know, the risk has only grown. I mean, you literally cannot make this stuff up. And what are the people to do? What choice do they have? I mean, unfortunately, we haven't figured out our third way, the solution to the problem. And it seems quite distant. It still does. Because the solution is quite radical. I mean, it's unbelievably radical. And there's only one way to go about it. And it's a good old-fashioned boycott. That's the only way to end stuff, is you have to boycott stuff. And I haven't figured out how to do it myself. And if I did figure out how to do it myself, trust me, I would. I would do it immediately. I mean, somebody will eventually figure this out. It will eventually become understood. But what needs to happen, what needs to take place, is that here, as we're sitting on the precipice of the great known, I mean, I think the great known is this. It can't go on forever. Nothing does. Nothing goes on forever. Civilizations, humanity, it rises, it falls. Nothing is permanent within this world, and that's okay. Sometimes our lifespans are not long enough to fully realize that change is inevitable and takes place all the time. Sometimes our lifespans see this change take place multiple times. But as we sit on this precipice, understanding that there is only one solution to our problems, and that's to stop doing stuff that's bad for us. Really not that hard to understand. And if one could figure out how to boycott the use of Federal Reserve notes, I mean, I'm not the genius here. I'm not the problem solver when it comes to this, because I don't know how to go about doing it fundamentally. If I was just the one guy, I could see how that would be possible. But there's other dynamics involved here. Multiple dynamics involved here. I mean, from my situation personally. But to boycott the Federal Reserve note would be to boycott everything that nobody likes about America. I mean, imagine that, if we could boycott everything that nobody likes about America. Right, most people don't like. Most people, the people, you people. Yes, that's right, you people that are listening right now, all three or four of you. The stuff that you do not like about America. Boycotting the Federal Reserve would end those things. Militarism, Wall Streetism, good old fascism. Not even old fashioned fascism, just good old fascism. That would be the way to go about doing it. It's possible, I'm sure. Just have to figure out that third way. Have to start creating one's own energy. And I suspect that's probably the fundamental here. Because once people are able to create their own energy, all the other things won't really matter. Because it's energy that gives the Federal Reserve note value. If it wasn't for energy, nobody on this planet, including us, would even care about the Federal Reserve note. It would essentially be valueless. Because you really have to think that no matter what happens globally, if Kansas City were completely cut off and we just went around going about our business as normal, as usual, and we didn't know that our currency, the Federal Reserve note, had completely and totally collapsed, and it hasn't collapsed yet completely. It still has purchasing power. But let's say that it was the Weimar Republic where your Federal Reserve note had no purchasing power whatsoever at all anymore, but you didn't know that because you weren't connected to the globalized economy. You were in a little vacuous bubble of information. You would just go on trading your little Federal Reserve notes because you believe they have value. And that's really what it is. We believe they have value. And some of that value is backed up by globalized military regime, which is very persuasive if you think about it. Warships and airplanes and helicopters and deployable troops and unmanned aerial vehicles and Hellfire missiles and all that good fun stuff. Very persuasive when it comes right down to it. Like convincing people that stuff has value. And we could literally trade seashells. Even though we're not by the seashore, we could trade seashells if we believed they had value, and that would work just fine for most people. Now, what would not work is that, I mean, I don't think Wall Street would work, or Kansas City's version of Wall Street, the Bats Exchange. I don't think that would work. We'd have to come up with a market for digital seashells or something like that. But average people just trying to trade labor and goods for the benefit of their own lives, their own economies, that would work just fine. It would be not a problem. I mean, the real problem comes as we look back on 100 years of the Federal Reserve System, which promised to create a stable monetary supply. And by stable, we mean just, hell yeah. How many trillions of dollars are there out there? Nobody knows. But we know it's a lot. And most of them are just binary code on some faraway mainframe. Stabilize the monetary supply. And, of course, end the business cycle. Which a business cycle for you non-economic students out there is essentially mellow out the economy so you don't have great extremes. You don't have bubbles and collapses. We all know that that has been the case in the last 100 years of the United States. There have been no bubbles. There have been no collapses. I know there's always the people out there that love to defend the Federal Reserve and say that, well, if it wasn't for that, we wouldn't have what we have now. And that's probably true. That is probably true. Think about what that means. Think about what that means for just a moment. I mean, just like when the POTUS spoke last Tuesday to the American people. And I'll have to say, I have a fondness for Vladimir Putin. I really do. I think he makes a great president of a country I don't live in. And as long as he's the president of a country I don't live in, I will have a great fondness for him. If I was a Russian, I might feel differently. In fact, I know I would feel differently. But he's got that little man swagger. Between tranquilizing Siberian tigers and wrestling polar bears and deep sea fishing with his bare hands, I believe what he did to the Obama administration is referred to in some circles as a cock block. And it was lovely to watch. It really, truly was. I mean, because what does America want to do more than anything else? What does America want to do? They want to engage in aerial bombing campaigns in any way they can. John Kerry makes offhanded comment in press conference about Syria giving up the chemical weapons that Syria says they don't have, but everyone knows they have because they have a relationship with Israel that is somewhat tenuous, somewhat strenuous. They're called deterrents. And then all of a sudden, Syria is giving up their chemical weapons. And John Kerry and his Russian counterpart are pretending to have a conference. What do you think takes place behind the closed doors of a conference between a U.S. Secretary of State and the foreign minister of the Soviet Union? Oh, excuse me, the Russian Federation.
I know. Video poker.
You think it's well? That's what John McCain does. Video poker.
Well, he was the only one caught on film. That might be the.
You think it was a video poker tournament?
Could be Parcheesi or maybe even Slapjack.
Battleship, Jake. They're playing Battleship. That shouldn't be that. I mean, yeah, Battleship. It certainly couldn't be high-stakes diplomacy hammering out an international plan to destroy stockpiles of chemical weapons, right? That couldn't be it.
Correct.
I don't think that was it. But, you know, the president of the United States, he said that he doesn't think that the American government should be the policeman of the world. Have we heard this before? Is this the theme?
Usually every September and every March.
We really shouldn't be the policeman of the world, but we've invested heavily in the companies of Lockheed Martin and Boeing, and we got to use those products. It's just the way it is.
Right, they'll be the Wackenhut of the world.
Which is a reference to a security company and not a circle jerk, right?
Well, a little of both.
All right. Yeah, every September and every March. September 11th, 2000 and whatever is known as State-Sponsored Terror Day. And I hope everyone enjoyed their state-sponsored terror day last Wednesday. March 19th of 2000 and whatever is referred to as International Military Violence Day. Now, the United States of America was going to probably would have started bombing, I would assume, Syria on September 11th, because there's one way to celebrate a state-sponsored terror holiday in the United States, and that's to put fear into the hearts and minds of international folks, especially the Middle Eastern folks. No better way to truly celebrate that than by bombing the crap out of those people over there in those faraway places. But Vladimir Putin stepped in with the little cock block action, and the president reiterated the idea that, hey, look, America shouldn't, he doesn't think America should be the policeman of the world, but in the last 70 years, when it comes to international agreements, there's only one enforcer. There's only one punisher. There's only one person that's going to bring down the wrath of what's right and good. And that's the Marines or something like that. I mean, really said that within like 90 seconds of itself. And, you know, don't expect much in the way of logic or understanding in these scenarios. But that's just kind of the position put before you. The position to be understood. It's about 5 minutes before the hour of 1 o'clock. You'd like to call, you're welcome to. It's 816-931-5534. If you would like to be an apologist for the Federal Reserve Bank, you are more than welcome to at 816-931-5534, 931-KKFI. If you'd like to be an apologist for the military-industrial complex and talk about how it's America's moral obligation to bomb the citizens of third world dictatorships, you can do so. 816-931-5534. It's our moral obligation to do so. It's also cute how we keep talking, the United States government will keep telling everyone that will listen that we are signatories to the 1993 ban on chemical weapons. So when we make it rain with white phosphorus, that's not to burn people's skin off. No, that's to light up the sky. Make it rain fire. And I'm not sure. Would you consider depleted uranium bullets to be chemical weapons?
I think the reaction of igniting gunpowder in all its various forms is a chemical weapon.
You might be thinking a little too hard here, Jake.
It hurts.
What, the thought process or the bullets?
Thinking too hard.
Yeah, right. There's lots of things that hurt out there. What do you think's worse? Surgical exposure to brain-eating proteins? Brain-eating amoebas found in your water supply? Or herpes-infected monkeys terrorizing Florida.
Ooh.
I mean, that's a tough one, isn't it?
I'd say the latter's already happened, right?
No, all three of those things are taking place right now.
Mm. And which would I prefer?
There are brain-eating proteins called prions that cannot be killed that will find themselves a home on surgical implements within hospital surgical centers. Because apparently some of those tools, they don't just throw away. They try to clean off and use one more time. And even after 15 minutes in an autoclave at 121 degrees Celsius, which is way over boiling. Because if I remember science class correctly, 100 degrees Celsius is boiling. 121 degrees Celsius is like 270 degrees Fahrenheit or something like that. It's mucho caliente. These brain-eating proteins called prions, which are similar, it's also known as spontaneous Creutzfeldt-Jakob's disease, better known as mad cow disease. But it's spontaneous because it just sneaks up on you. It doesn't come after you eat McDonald's. Just happens to be there. Can you imagine that? Just spontaneously prions, which are essentially like, they're not fungus, they're not bacteria, they're not virus, but they're like little zombie proteins that get inside your brain and start eating it. Or the good old-fashioned brain-eating amoebas that are all over the southern water supplies.
Yeah, from pig farms, right?
I don't know. I mean, it could be from intergalactic dust. I have no idea where this stuff comes from. Brain-eating amoebas?
Well, in all my research on variations of food and meat and diets, when the food supply is introduced with brain and spinal matter, whether it's pigs eating pigs or cows eating cows or cannibals in the rainforest eating other humans, there is prevalence for these prions to, you know, feed further. It's like you know, brain buffet all over the place, and they can reproduce and become extra resistant to all kinds of stuff. And also, It's kind of a a mechanism for, well, kind of the same reason that feces stinks. You're supposed to stay away from it. You know, you eat enough brain matter from a similar species, and your body will start eating your own brain. I think it's a byproduct of a very perverted food supply, is the short answer.
Something that hot sauce won't even fix. Right?
Depends on if it's habanero or jalapeno, but usually not.
It's about 1 o'clock right here on 90.1 FM, KKFI, Kansas City Community Radio. And then, of course, somebody released a bunch of little monkeys into the wild in Florida like 50 or 60 years ago.